The everyday challenge of feeding your family can be downright daunting. Now, if the thought of another night of sautéed chicken breast bores you to tears, you're not alone. The beginning of the new year is a good time to gather up some tricks to bring some life back into our kitchens. Well, we paired up award-winning writer Dory Greenspan with Michael Anthony. He's the chef of one of New York City's most beloved restaurants, the Gramercy Tavern.
Mike, thanks so much for coming in today.
I'm so happy to be here.
Tell me, how do you start thinking about cooking at home?
Well, first of all, I'm a father of three daughters, and so it's a necessity for me like it is for most folks around the country. Just because I wear a white chef's jacket does not make me immune to all of the challenges that any home cook faces, because sure, at the restaurant, we're likely to make a dish with three or four sets of hands and five or six or seven pots and pans. At home, I'm not willing to do that. It's usually me alone and one or two pans because, let's face it, if it takes more time to clean up than it does to actually prepare the meal, not so many folks are going to, you know, make that a regular part of their
That's
lives.
That's actually a great rule of thumb, that it shouldn't take more time to clean up than to actually make what needs to be cleaned up.
Oh, it's a reality of it.
So we need a little help as home cooks. Can you think of three techniques that we need at home? What are the basics?
Sure. Something comes to mind. For example, in the spring chapter, I presented a recipe that is an asparagus salad. And that asparagus salad, it starts in a pan with a drizzle of olive oil and some fresh spears of asparagus that are roasted, browned a little bit. And it is just as easy as any other technique. And quite frankly, maybe even faster and easier.
And a technique that you can use for chicken, for fish, for other vegetables. It's that
And
pan roasting.
Not to mention, most folks at home do have a skillet and, you know, are comfortable cooking with that. And then with a drizzle of olive oil to finish, a squeeze of lemon juice, and then, say, a little shaving of raw asparagus to top it, you can add an herb, another vegetable, or just leave it simply as it is. And in a 15 or 20 minute time period, you have a really complex salad that kind of echoes and layers this idea of asparagus.
You said a squeeze of lemon juice. That little bit of acidity at the end, whether we're cooking pasta or chicken or fish, just that freshness at the end.
You're hitting on something that I think is becoming a defining quality of American cooking. If you look across the country, this use of acidity, whether it comes from a citrus fruit or from vinegar or from products like verjus and any sort of
verjus,
condiment.
The juice from
unfermented grape juice. Right. And vermouth, all sorts of products, if they bring a touch of acidity that make your tongue water, then they add interest. And I think American cooking is all about these highs and lows. French cooking being about harmony, Japanese cooking being about nature. American cooking is about these exciting, liberating, and kind of this freedom of like these highs and lows, a little bit of spice, a little bit of acidity really, I think, starts to define who we are and how we eat.
I love that description of American food. So if we want to hit those highs, are there ingredients that we should have on hand? I know you use an ingredient that I've never used, shiro dashi.
Oh, yeah. That is one that I think is worth mentioning.
And tell me about it. Describe it for me.
Shiro dashi literally translates into white soy sauce. It's a brewed Japanese condiment, similar to soy sauce, but a little smokier, a little saltier. It actually isn't all that widely used throughout Japan, but certainly not in restaurants, but it is used at home. And it's a simple way to bring a great smoky and slightly salty aspect to a dish. And another beautiful way to make a dish pop would be to have a vinegar that you feel connected to. I use rice wine vinegar, but you could sure substitute white wine or champagne or any other vinegar that you really feel connected to. And there's a whole section on making vinegar pickles. They're pickles that I keep in the refrigerator, and they'll hold for months and months, and can be included to make dishes exciting.
You have a recipe that fascinates me. It's very, very simple, and you use it in, just going to turn the page here, in the slow-roasted pork shoulder, right? And it's the bacon broth.
Right.
Talk to me about this broth. It's fascinating.
Well, so when I have some scraps of bacon, you know, take an onion, a little piece of carrot, clove of garlic, and an onion, slice it, lightly saute it with those bacony scraps. And you can even do them in advance, and they're wonderful to just warm up. And whether it's used in this recipe, the slow pulled pork, or it's applied to another dish, a vegetable dish, you get to enjoy these smoky flavors. And at the same time, one dish or one meal leads into the next. After all, cooking at home is not really a collection of recipes. It's more like kind of this continual story.
I will be making the slow-roasted pork shoulder. I will be making the bacon broth that's part of it. And I will be finishing it, as you do, with some vinegar to give it some bite. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you, Dory.
Michael Anthony is author of the Gramercy Tavern Cookbook, and Dory Greenspan's latest book is Around My French Table. Now, from Michael, we've got recipes for a leisurely weekend supper. Slow-roasted pork shoulder with bacon broth and cornbread. You're going to find it all at splendidtable.org.